Carla, could you tell me a little bit about what the Sandhill Fen actually looks like right now?
The Sandhill Fen is a research watershed that we built. It's very interesting because it's the first reclamation on soft tailings. It's the first time we've built a watershed specifically to support a wetland. And it's also the first time that we built a research facility to support the research from the very beginning, from the design phase. And it's a 57-hectare area that contains a bunch of small hills, 2 to 8 meters tall. And in the center of that 57 hectares is about an 18-hectare wetland. And it's really beautiful. We finished constructing and planting all the trees in 2012. And since then, everything's really taken off. The hills are filled with a huge diversity of different trees, spruce, jack pine, aspen. Those are the things we've planted, but there's lots of other things coming in on their own. Blueberries, saskatoons, pincherries. The pincherry trees are so tall, they're taller than I am, and so full of berries that they're falling over. So that's what you see on the hills. And then the wetland is a flat area in the center, and it's filled with a huge variety of wetland plants. Some of the areas that are wetter have cattails, which most people are familiar with. And then the moister areas have all kinds of typical fen plants, sedges and mosses. And the whole facility is filled with all kinds of birds and bees and frogs and insects. And it's really lovely.
So it looks like it's always been there?
Yeah, I think so. If you didn't know that it was reclamation, it would really feel like a natural area, maybe just after a burn, because the trees are a little bit short right now. They're only a few years old, but I'm confident in even 15 or 20 years, you wouldn't be able to distinguish it from a natural area.
So when did the construction for the reclamation actually start?
It was actually a long process. So late in 2007, in December, we convened our first technical advisory panel meeting. So we commissioned a bunch of academics, mostly, and engineers to help us with the design. That was the first step, is to figure out what we should build. This had never been done before, and there weren't manuals or textbooks or anything in the scientific literature to guide us. So we got a group of people together, hydrologists, hydrogeologists, mine engineers, ecologists, peatland specialists, all kinds of folks. We all sat around the table and tried to figure out what were the initial conditions we would need to get a fen to develop over time. And at the same time, what can we build in this watershed to answer the questions that we have, to fill the gaps that we don't understand? So that design phase took about a year and a half. Construction started in about 2009, and then it started with grading the area, building the hills out of tailing sand, and then placing the soil everywhere and planting the trees. And the last tree was planted in the spring of 2012. And once that was finished, we let our researchers loose on the facility, and they've been studying every drop of water and every plant and what's happening since then. And we've been learning a lot.
So how are you monitoring it?
So there's two major activities. We have the research program, and then we have the monitoring program. So Syncrude does some routine water quality monitoring of the water in the wetland, but most of the data comes from the research program. At the University of Alberta, we have a hydrologist and hydrogeologist helping us to understand where is the water moving in the fen. One of the challenges with reclamation is that we're limited with water in the boreal plain in Alberta. There's only so much water to go around. So how do you get water to fill wetlands at the same time as have enough water to grow really big trees? So that's the balance that we're trying to figure out. And the balance in this watershed was we want to push it towards the wetland. So we made those hills drier. We were going to plant drier forests. So they're helping us to understand, the hydrologists, the team at U of A, are we seeing the water moving from the hills into the wetland, and are we getting enough? What is the quantity and quality of that water that's being delivered to the wetland? At the same time, another researcher at U of A is studying the trees that we've planted on those hills. Normally in reclamation, we plant about 2,000 stems per hectare. He's testing if we plant no stems per hectare, if we plant 5,000 stems per hectare, or 10,000 stems per hectare? How does that change the way water moves in the landscape? And so that vegetation work is connected to the hydrology and hydrogeology and water movement work. So those are two of the big programs that help us understand the water balance in that wetland.
Are you finding, now that you've planted a number of trees, that other vegetation, natural vegetation, is gradually filling up the area?
Yes, absolutely. So on the hills, we plant a few species of trees, but the understory, all the shrubs, have come in on their own. So the seeds of those plants are in the soil. And when we place the soil, we place those seeds. And when the conditions are right, they just grow. So there's a proliferation of a huge variety of conventional boreal forest vegetation happening on those hills. And the same thing in the wetland. We seeded the wetland area. We went out to a bunch of natural fens. We collected a bunch of seeds from a variety of different fen plants. We estimated there were probably about 20 million seeds that we scattered through the wetland, and those plants are coming up, but we're also seeing other types of vegetation that we didn't plant arriving and doing fine.
So how about habitation from animals and birds?
Yeah, this is another really, really exciting aspect. We have a huge variety of animals that are already using the fen. They're living there, they're feeding there, they're making babies there. So it's really fantastic. We see evidence of muskrat, lots of birds and frogs in the spring. You can barely talk to the person next to you because the frog songs are so loud. This summer we had a resident bear, a giant, I think they estimated him to be 400-pound male, that hung out in the fen eating the cattails and feeding on all those pin cherries that I talked about. So that's really exciting to see.
Is that a black bear?
A black bear, yeah. And one really exciting thing is the common nighthawk. And so although it's called a common nighthawk, it's not that common. And it's actually a threatened species in Alberta. And we've had a pair of nighthawk nest in the fen. They return every year. We've seen them produce two young and fledge two young, when normally the clutch size is only one egg. So they're very productive in the fen and they keep returning. So this is something we're really excited about. There's a wide variety of wildlife using this habitat, even species that are rare and threatened.
Certainly with a fen, one of the things you want to do is rebuild the peatlands that are there. That's what fens are for. Are you finding that sort of thing?
Yes, this is something that I find incredibly thrilling. So one of the purposes of the fen was to understand, can we build those initial conditions to get those peatland functions forming over time? And after 2 or 3 years, we saw evidence of peat formation. So the mosses came in. We didn't plant them. They just came in on their own. And we saw the initiation of peat, which is kind of rare to see. So it's very exciting. So you can see last year's moss growth that isn't decomposing, and then this year's green moss growing over top. So that's something we're going to track to understand what's the rate of that peat formation, and is there anything we can do to speed it up. Another big function of peatlands is that they're carbon sinks. So they retain the carbon from the atmosphere. And already that wetland is a carbon sink. So it's accumulating carbon from the atmosphere. And this is something I wouldn't have expected to happen so quickly. And so this is very exciting that already so early on, we've got those key peatland functions and the key peatland structure. We've got those peatland plants in that wetland.
So just looking at a natural peatland, my understanding is they take thousands of years to build up. How would you compare then what you're doing in the reclamation in the Sandhill Fen to what's happening naturally?
So all of those peatlands in nature started somewhere, and I think that's what we've built here. We've got the start of the peatland forming, and we've got those key functions. And I think over time, we'll see more of those peatland structures and other functions coming in, and this wetland will do what conventional peatlands do.
I find it interesting, too, that you say you didn't plant the mosses. They just kind of showed up on their own. So what does that say about the spores or whatever that are in the air?
Yeah, I think it's encouraging to know that the plants can get there without us helping them. Some of those moss spores were probably in the soil that we placed, but there are lots that will come in with the animals. They're stuck on the duck's feet or something, and when they move from wetland to wetland, they bring things along with them. So the animals help that. If we didn't see mosses forming or the right plants there, of course we would be planting the right stuff there to encourage these things to develop more quickly. But it's definitely encouraging. It means that we've built the right conditions in that wetland for these things to live and grow.
How will you take the work that you've done with the sandhill fen and then apply it to future reclamation?
This is one of the most rewarding things as being a scientist in a mining company, is to see that the scientific learnings that we generate are being used to make operational changes to improve our performance in the future. And right from the start, even the things we learned during the design phase have been incorporated in the next wetland. And right next door to Sandhill Fen is another watershed called the Kingfisher. And that's been, they're working on reclaiming that as we speak. And we're constantly informing that process and synthesizing the learnings from all of these research groups and presenting them to our reclamation operations people to implement in the field. And so this process will continue into the future, and we'll keep our eye and our research program and our monitoring program on the Sandhill Fen to learn as much as we can to inform every future wetland. And then as we build more wetlands, we will monitor those as well so that we can increase and improve our understanding.
So the Sandhill Fen is 50-plus hectares. What do you expect to be the size of the next ones?
Well, Kingfisher is about the same size as Sandhill, but the future ones will be much larger. The location that the Sandhill Fen sits on, it's part of East Inpit. So Sandhill Fen is a 50-hectare chunk of a 1,000-hectare landform. And so that 1,000-hectare landform will look a lot like that 57 hectares of Sandhill Fen.
So the work that you're doing with Sandhill, that's informing Kingfisher and future ones. What about the rest of the industry?
Thank you for that question. That's an excellent question. We share all of our research with our COSIA partners.
And COSIA is what?
Canadian Oil Sands Innovation Alliance. So it's all the oil sands industry partners getting together and sharing and collaborating on research and results. Also, these research programs that we fund, we have three researchers at the University of Alberta, two at the University of Windsor, University of Saskatchewan, Southern Illinois University. All of those researchers have a team of students who are doing the work and writing their theses and writing scientific publications. And so all of those scientific journal articles are in the public realm, freely available to anybody who wants to learn and understand about the work that we're doing.
Thank you very much, Carla.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.